This show's a daily contest to see who's dumber.
You ain't got no class like me, man. I'm an aristocrat.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
They're not like us. They're not like us. They're not like us.
This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter.
Mark Hockman.
I have this fantasy of becoming obese and bedridden and having people bring me food.
What's your favorite pasta? The gabagool?
Channing Crowder.
I just got an insufficient funds text. I might not be able to buy no beer tonight. I lost my virginity watching Bill dance.
Google me, bro.
Alejandro Solana.
So Billy the Marlin isn't a bird? I'm basically a professional kayaker.
Sports.
I used to hang out with Chris Volstead.
Okay.
I would just like to confirm I am wearing underwear today.
You know what else is great all the time, doesn't matter what the scenario? Bagpipes.
Finish your damn string cheese.
Jimmy Jewelry.
More sports.
Come on, repeat after me.
Here comes the Blackfoot.
The most sports.
Jimmy, you've never had an injury?
No. I stretch.
The Hockman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Got ourselves a game night. We got ourselves a game night. Eastern Conference Finals. Panthers, Hurricanes. And it happens tonight in Raleigh, North Carolina. Game one. I am jacked up. I am ready to go. One more series, and we've got ourselves our third Stanley Cup Finals in a row. That is so rare in any sport. Any sport, you go to a finals, a championship, three seasons in a row, you're talking dynasty. And so one more series, very evenly matched teams. We're going to break it down today. We'll get you ready for the game tonight. But one more series, and you've got the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup Finals. And for those, I know I did this last year, but now you do it again where you're step away. You know, for those of us who were at the National Car Rental Center and the BB&T Center and the Office Depot Center when the Panthers were playing there, and there were 4,000 people in the stands, and 3,000 of those were free tickets. And, you know, we rooted for guys like David Booth and the Beezer. I mean, we had some times. But when you can fast forward, if you knew then that you'd get to May 20th, 2025, and you'd be starting the third Eastern Conference Finals in a row, and again, like I say, just one series win away from going to your third Stanley Cup final in a row, you'd never believe it. You would never believe it if you were sitting there watching Ville Peltonen, Radek Dvorak, all the seasons we went through. We had fun as Panthers fans, but this is an era of hockey that I don't know anyone ever expected when it comes to South Florida. So enjoy it. We are one series win away. You got the guts, Solana? I was more nervous for the Tampa and the Toronto series than I am for this series for some reason.
No, I'm afraid of the Carolina Hurricanes a little bit. I've still got the guts, though. Don't get me wrong. Like, I've got the Cats going to the Stanley Cup final because of what you just said, Hawk. Like, this team has a ton of dynastic qualities to it.
It does.
It really does. Dynastic.
Great word. Annoying word.
Mm.
Now, you know how I feel about it. It happens to be a great word when used sporadically.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And infrequently.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to use it as frequently as possible over the next couple months.
But what happened during the Big Three era, and I'll call out Dan Le Batard for this.
Oh.
What happened during the Big Three era was a massive overuse of the word dynastic.
Loved it.
And it's like, we got you, everybody. You're very smart. You're calling this a dynastic roster, a dynastic franchise. We got it, everybody. It's enough. it's cutesy and it's enough. And I do understand it in the context that you just used it. This team has dynastic quality.
They do. All the tendencies you want out of a dynastic roster, Hawk. I mean, the Panthers enter the Eastern Conference Finals today with those tendencies, with those qualities. Dynastic.
But let's not overuse the term. Okay?
All that to say, I got the Cats in four again. I think
really?
They're going to sweep the Carolina Hurricanes.
All right. Fair enough. That's what dynasties do. That would be a dynastic result. Anyway, Crowder is off today, and we will keep you company up until 6 p.m., and then you will get Panthers hockey tonight at 8 p.m. Every game during this series starts at 8 p.m., and you will get Panthers hockey right here on this very radio station. Once again today, we're giving away Marlins tickets. You could win a pair of tickets to see the Marlins host the Giants May 31st. It's South Florida Black Legacy Day at the ballpark. And just keep listening for your chance to win. I think you said we had an AFC Bournemouth game this afternoon.
Yeah, up the Cherries, baby. I'm rocking the Cherries jersey.
Oh, that's right.
You purchased for me in London, in the Jurassic Coast, at the Vitality Stadium for a big
looking good
matchup. Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah.
That's the throwback.
It is. Vintage. Today against Manchester City.
Do we know if Matt Mervis is playing tonight for the Marlins?
We do not know yet. I have looked up who is throwing for the Chicago Cubs today.
And?
He is a righty. It is a righty throwing for the Cubbies today. You saw the Marlins won yesterday, by the way?
I did. A little walk-off action.
Yeah, Jesus Sanchez just like had himself a ball game yesterday. But Marlins blow the lead in the sixth inning. And then Jesus Sanchez, two outs, nobody on. Marlins get two runners on. Error out in right field. I don't know if it was scored as an error, but the game should have been over. Marlins catch a break. And then with a runner on first and second, Jesus Sanchez, two out, just ripped one right down the first baseline. Walk-off for the Marlins. By the way, their sixth walk-off of the season, Hawk, which is tied for the Giants.
They don't have a ton of wins, but there's been some good walk-offs.
Yeah, that's tied for the Giants, who will be here May 31st. Those are the tickets we're giving away. Tied for the most.
Matt Mervis does have a prop on the Hard Rock Bet app, so he's at plus 375 to hit a ding-dong. But again, they had a prop for him early yesterday because a righty was pitching and he was not in the lineup, so we'll have to see if he's in the lineup or not tonight. So we'll get you ready for the game tonight. George Richards is going to join us. Doug Plagans is going to join us. Before you know it, be watching Game 1, Eastern Conference Finals. Let us begin today, though, with headlines brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen.
Here's why I'm scared, Hawk, a little bit about the Carolina Hurricanes. None of us are terrified or afraid of this series. Like,
right.
I don't know a single Panthers fan. I mean, Jimmy's already looking at flights to Dallas. I don't know a single Panthers fan that's like, I don't know. I'm a little worried about Carolina. I'm a little worried about this series. Like, we're all just chalking this up as, yeah, swept them 2 years ago. This will be easy work. We're right back in the Stanley Cup final.
What about the NBA tonight? Is it East or West tonight?
East tonight. Oh, no,
East
West.
Tonight?
West. West tonight. West tonight.
All right. West tonight.
Yeah, West tonight. 29
so all our
years.
Games will match up with the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Actually, that's good for a lot of South Floridians because they want to watch their Knicks as well.
Oh.
So they'll get it every. They'll get it. They'll have something to do every night.
How many times have you seen the Reggie Miller shot over the past?
Oh
like,
my God! Yeah,
48
I mean, if
hours.
You think like there happens to be some good Pacers Knicks history.
Yeah,
but good God, man! If you think dynastic is overused.
You know what? I'm here for it. Like, keep showing me Reggie Miller because it keeps bringing up just, like, the worst memories for the New York Knicks, the 2000 Eastern Conference Finals. Reggie Miller almost single-handedly outscoring the New York Knicks at the Garden in Game 6.
So I have something interesting as an aside. First of all, I just saw that Tom Cruise is going to be on Pat McAfee tomorrow, which seems like it could be a disaster for Tom Cruise. You know what I mean? Like, because you think of him as a strange dude, but I guess he's fairly down to earth. I don't know if you saw the videos on social media the last couple of days. You know, he was in Cannes. They got the new Mission Impossible movie, and he's been visiting movie theaters. And there's video. And apparently, like, he gives everyone as much time as they want. He was talking to the concessionaires. They said for 15 minutes, just I saw an interview. It was with a celebrity, an interview about Tom Cruise that said he literally, like, he kind of stares into your soul. You feel like he's genuinely interested in you. And he might be, because someone who's seen everything, done everything, met everyone, they are interested, I think, in other people's stories because they've got nothing else to learn, you know? But there's video of him. I just happened to see this on Pat McAfee tomorrow. There's video of him on Twitter. I don't know if you saw this, of him eating popcorn. Did you see this?
No, I didn't.
He eats popcorn with the ferocity of a man fighting for his life. I don't know. It's very strange. This is, I don't know if you can see the video. It's constant, very firm, quick moves to the mouth from the popcorn bucket, like real fast every single time.
I'm
just fascinated by it.
It's the toss technique, where he's not placing the kernels into his mouth, but he's tossing them with like
a
strict motion.
But it's not really a toss because he's bringing it right up to his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's with a very quick, deliberate, and ferocious movement.
This is one of those things about celebrities, though. Like, they can't just do things normally. Everything has to be...
Right. Well, a lot of geniuses, you know, they do things strangely, but it's one of the reasons that they're geniuses. But Tom Cruise, someone had tweeted out, Tom Cruise has been talking to the employees at AMC Lincoln Square for 15 minutes now. And then someone retweeted that and wrote, I'll use this time to talk about the absolutely insane information Tom Cruise gave in his pre-screening speech. First, he asked us all, not once, but twice, if we had popcorn. I showed him my bucket to confirm. And then he says, I normally eat two big buckets myself during a movie. Now, that's a lot of popcorn.
That is a lot of popcorn.
Two big buckets, because sometimes I'll get the big bucket going, oh, free refills. So if I knock this down, you never get the free refill. You're sick to your stomach.
Never, never.
And then someone added on to it. To add to the Tom popcorn lore, I need you all to realize this is how he eats popcorn. And it's just this very ferocious movement to the mouth. It's I don't know. It's a very... very deliberate motion.
Yeah.
Very interesting guy.
Yeah. Well, are you suggesting Tom Cruise is a genius?
I think he's got geniastic tendencies.
All right.
All right, back to headlines.
Uh-huh. He's a good actor. Don't get me wrong. I'm not hating on Tom Cruise. Good actor.
Yeah. No. But I think he's a weird dude. Like an artistic genius. I'm not saying he's...
Okay, I got you.
Van Gogh, right, was an artistic genius. I don't know if he knew how to spell his name, but he was a genius. You know what I mean? Like, certain people are geniuses, and I'm not talking about, like, book smart or whatever.
How long into that McAfee interview before they bring up the Church of Scientology?
Yeah, it's you know, he's probably got a lot of, hey, this is off limits, that's off limits, but I don't think Pat McAfee would abide by that, certainly not the cast members on the show. It's why I find it to be very interesting. But I think Tom Cruise really wants to be, you know, Mr. Everyday Guy. So, yeah, I can hang with McAfee. I can hang with presidents. I can talk to the employees at the AMC about popcorn. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think he fancies himself. And maybe he is an everyday guy. I think he fancies himself that way for sure, though.
Do you watch all those, like, the Tom Cruise movies that he does now, all the action films? Not
well, the
Top
Mission
Gun,
Impossible, this
Mission
new
Impossible,
one,
yeah.
Is, yeah. So I've only seen one, which was the last one, and we only saw it because my son and I was like last summer, probably. Was it last summer or the summer before? We went to see it at that 4DX theater in Dania Beach. because we were like, oh, this movie, it'll move around. I didn't understand a thing that was going on because I think there was like five episodes before that one. And he even said to me, are we going to go see the next one, the conclusion? And I'm like, I don't even remember what happened in the one that we saw. But I love Tom Cruise movies. Risky Business, growing up in the 80s, Risky Business for me was one of those, you know, coming to adulthood movies. Rebecca De Mornay. I mean, everyone wanted to be Tom Cruise growing up in the 80s.
There might be a Top Gun 3. You saw that? Tom Cruise said he's working on a Top Gun 3.
So Top Gun and the sequel, which was called Maverick,
Maverick,
I guess,
yeah,
were two fantastic movies. He's made a ton of great movies.
No, no, bro. He's
a very odd guy, I think, but he's made a ton of great movies.
Generational actor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Generational actor, him and Will Smith, probably.
Yeah, not so much.
By the way, speaking of movies, I know it's Eastern Conference Finals, but I saw today a trailer for Jurassic World Rebirth. I had no idea that there was another Jurassic Park, Jurassic World being made.
Yeah, so we went, my son and wife and I, we went to see, what did I tell you yesterday when I was talking about the Cinemark? Thunderbolts, Thundercats,
oh, yeah.
Thunderdogs, Thunderbirds.
Thunderbirds.
So we went to see that, and they had a preview for the new Jurassic Park movie. Now, I've been making the same joke to my son since he's 10. Oh, my God, I can't believe. I wonder what's going to happen in this new Jurassic Park movie. I wonder if some of the dinosaurs are going to get loose, and it's going to create a dangerous situation for people who had nefarious thought. And so this preview comes on, and we both roll our eyes, and he's like, are we going to see it? And I said, yeah, for sure.
I don't miss one. I can't wait. I am a Jurassic Park, Jurassic World junkie. But Hawk, coming to theaters July 2nd, I read this morning, it will not have an IMAX release. They're not going to put it on IMAX.
Interesting.
But what's the point? Like, if I can't see a T-Rex on IMAX, then what's the point of having a Jurassic Park movie?
Well, you think there's going to be a T-Rex in it? Like, who knows?
That's a good point. 8 p.m. tonight. That is the start time for... Man, I really didn't think I'd deploy the Jurassic Park headline this early into
that
the show.
Early?
Yeah, I got to be honest. That felt so more
really,
like
it's
a...
not in IMAX?
Like a 4:25-ish headline at some point today.
Certainly on a game day.
The Hurricanes have not won. The Canes have not won a single conference final game in this era. They were swept by the Bruins in 2019 and swept by the Panthers in 2023. So history bodes well for the Cats. We'll find out tonight, 8 p.m.
You sure? Because on Google, it says, is Jurassic World Rebirth going to be in IMAX? The answer is yes. Jurassic World Rebirth will be released in IMAX theaters. The film is set to open in IMAX venues alongside regular theaters across the country in early July.
I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but I did read it today, I think, on NBC. I'll find the article. I'll send it to you. I could be wrong.
Maybe it said it is being released in IMAX?
Very possible. Very possible. I do struggle reading.
Right. Easy to misinterpret is and isn't.
By the way, all of the Western Conference NHL games, so Oilers at Stars, Game 1's tomorrow in Dallas, all of those games will also be on WQAM, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, look at us.
Mm-hmm.
You're a hockey hub.
Yeah.
You said it yesterday. South Florida's a hockey hub.
Yeah. There also may be some U.S. men's national team games coming to WQAM. That's not confirmed yet, but that's a maybe. Could be coming to WQAM in the summer.
We got to get some AFC Bournemouth games.
Yeah. Hawk, OKC Minnesota game one tonight, 8:30 p.m. in Oklahoma. How about this? It's been 29 years. 1996 was the last time that the Western Conference Finals did not feature a team from Texas or California. 29 years. I was 1 year
That's
old.
That's interesting.
1 year old the last time the conference finals did not
feature.
You
got Houston and Dallas in Texas. You've got Golden State, the Lakers, the Clippers. Am I missing any other team?
San Antonio, Houston, Dallas.
Oh, San Antonio. Yeah. San Antonio. I said, yeah, Houston, Dallas has to. So San Antonio
teams.
As well. So six teams.
Yeah. Sacramento.
Have been in the Western Conference final. Oh, Sacramento. Seven teams. No, I'm trying to think because I had five. There's seven.
There's four in Cali, three in Texas. There's seven teams. Yeah, because the Kings made it in the 2000s. Remember, they were up, I think, 3-1 on the Lakers or 3-2 in 2000. Lakers ended up coming back and winning that series. A little help from the officials. San Antonio's won a bunch of chips. And Houston won championships in 94, 95 in between the Jordan three-peats.
Yeah.
Well, that's tonight, 8:30 p.m. The Marlins, I mentioned, they went off a walk-off triple today. They're going to play games 2 of 3 versus the Chicago Cubs tonight. 6:40 p.m. It's Ryan Weathers on the mound for the Fish. Had a good outing against Chicago last week in Chicago.
Got the rare text from Frito during the game yesterday.
Hey.
Josh Friedman texted me. I haven't heard from him in a while. Out of the blue. Said, are you rooting for the Marlins or the Cubs? So I'm rooting for the Marlins, of course.
Frito went to Wrigley Field for a World Series game in 2016 when the Cubs, I don't know if he was there when they clinched, but he went to go watch a World Series game.
He was on national TV. He was focused because he was right behind the dugout. He had great seats.
You were a White Sox fan, though, right, growing up? Not a Cubs fan.
That's what I told him. I'm like, I'm rooting for the Marlins because I never rooted for the Cubs. Yeah. I was always a White Sox fan growing up.
But now that the Pope is a White Sox fan, now you're back in on the Sox.
But now I'm on the Cubs.
Barry Jackson is reporting that the Dolphins have made contact with former Chargers cornerback Asante Samuel Jr. I imagine we're still waiting on any Jalen Ramsey trade before the Dolphins go out and start spending money again, I would guess. And then NFL owners, they have league meetings in Minneapolis. They're voting today on a couple different things. The tush-push is back through, I think, by the Vikings or by the Packers. But they're voting today on whether or not the NFL should allow NFL players, to play in the 2028 Olympics in L.A., the flag football event that's going to take place there. And Adam Schefter is reporting that the vote is expected to pass.
Yeah, that's going to pass. I think you're going to get the reseeding vote to pass, so you'll have seedings based on actual
wins,
record,
right,
instead of divisions, which makes all the sense in the world. And tush-push, that one's going to be interesting.
I'm not the biggest fan of the reseeding, to be 100% honest. I get it.
Oh, I am. Do it based on records. What's these arbitrary divisions? Who gives a crap?
But it's not arbitrary. Like, it's
totally arbitrary.
I don't think it's arbitrary. Like, everybody is playing with the understanding that if you win your division, you are rewarded with a home field in the first round of the playoffs in the wild card.
Right. Like, some teams win their division at 7-10.
Yeah. But that's what happens when you win your division. Hawk, if they want to get rid of divisions, then
they should get rid of divisions. Well, I'm kind of with that.
Well, they shouldn't because and here's the thing. If you look at it from just the context of let's get the best teams in the postseason and forget about divisions, then I'm all in. But the best part about football, in my opinion, are the rivalries built into the game. Dolphins,
well,
Jets,
sure.
Dolphins, Bills,
obviously,
and you only have that because of division rivalries.
No, I get the concept of why you wouldn't want to get rid of a division now, because then you wouldn't have your guaranteed two matchups against the Jets and the Patriots. But for the postseason, it makes no sense. And if so, you extrapolate it out and say, yeah, get rid of divisions, have two conferences, and we're good to go. I'm down with that.
I've been for years saying the NBA should get rid of conferences, get rid of 82 games, have an in-season tournament, but just have every team play. The Heat would play every team two times, home and away. That's it. You have whatever that would be. There's 29 games times two. And then you have the in-season tournament to make up the games. You pause the regular season. And the top 16 teams make the NBA playoffs. One plays 16, two, and you do it that way.
And how about this for the NBA? The NBA, you do away with the regular season in totality. The first round of the playoffs is best of 82. So every season, you're facing the same team 82 times before the playoffs start. That's interesting, no?
Genius.
Thank you.
You've been workshopping that for sure for a while.
I have. I've taken a deep dive into that.
Yeah. We'll run it up the ladder.
All right.
Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm, call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Another hot day in South Florida. Told you yesterday it's going to be hot and then hotter and then hotter and hotter. So that's your weather.
Interesting how that works.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Let's go, baby!
Hawk and Crowder.
Game night. Talk a little hockey with George Richards here in a second. Your ticket to summer is here. Live Nation's got $30 tickets to more than 1,000 shows. And to celebrate, we're giving you a chance to win tickets to 5 shows at the I Think Financial Amphitheater, which is up in West Palm Beach. The shows include Dierks Bentley, The Offspring, Toto, Kesha, and Pantera. And it's very easy to enter. All you have to do is go to WQAM.com. Click on the contest page and enter right there, and you could win. If you want more info on how to see a show for just $30 tickets, go to livenation.com. Our friend George Richards from Florida Hockey Now is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. You can read his Panthers coverage at floridahockeynow.com, and he's joining us. So, talk to us, George, on a game night here. Solana and I were kind of, perplexed. We were a little bit more nervous about Tampa and Toronto than we are about Carolina. Is that silly on our part?
Yeah, probably because you know Toronto and you know Tampa a little better, right? Carolina's a team that the Panthers haven't even seen since New Year's. I mean, that was 5 months ago. So, listen, this isn't the sexiest team in the league, Carolina. It just plays a hard game. You should be a little bit more worried about these guys than
Now you've got me real worried. Should I be really concerned about this series?
Yeah, I would be. I mean, this was a team that, less than 2 years ago, Florida swept them, right? But every game was one goal. Two games went to overtime. I mean, in game four, the Panthers won with like a minute left in the third. Every game was as tight as they could be, and you're going to see more of that. I mean, they've got a fantastic goalie that nobody knows of outside of the hockey world, and Frederik Andersen. I mean, Carolina's played 10 playoff games, right, against New Jersey, which was hurt. The New Jersey series was a joke. They should have swept that series. They won in 5. But they completely shut down the Washington Capitals. Freddie Anderson's given up 12 goals, 12 in 10 games. I mean, he is just on, and getting pucks past him is going to be tough.
I should bet the under tonight.
I would bet the under, yes.
Is what you're telling me. What kind of
It's five and a half, I believe. I haven't looked.
It's got to be. If it's lower than 5.5, I'd be shocked. So what kind of series are you expecting from these two teams then? Like what kind of game should we expect tonight? Really tight, close to the vest?
Yeah, I think so. I think both teams like playing that way, though. I mean, it's, again, how many games did we watch during the regular season where people were complaining that the Panthers were just boring them to death? Well, that's how the Panthers love playing, and that's what gets them wins. Same goes for Carolina. We're not going to see a whole lot of wide-open chances on either side. I think it's going to be a series where it's going to be defined by who makes a mistake, who decides that, I'm going to make a play here, and it gets turned the other way. And even then, when even when a team makes a mistake, you've got Sergei Bobrovsky in one net and Freddie Anderson in the other. So even when you do break through the defense, you've got two great goalies back there. So, yeah, it's going to be tight. It's going to be low scoring. I'll watch tonight be 7-5. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's one of those. But that's what we expect anyway.
I was reading about Frederik Andersen, George, how great he is, mm-hmm. especially with pucks sent towards goal for deflections. Anything that gets near the goal, he's awesome at deflecting those pucks.
Yeah.
I know that's something the Cats are elite at, right? Like, that's how they literally took the air out of the Scotiabank Arena the other night after the goal was scored. 18 seconds later, here comes a quick deflection, and the game was over. Will that change the Cats' game plan at all, or are they still just going to be extremely reliant on the forecheck and try to win it that way?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's their DNA. That's how the Florida Panthers have been playing for the past 3 years. They are not going to change. They're going to go hard to the net. They're going to try and get in his line of vision. They're going to try and take Freddie Anderson's eyes away, and Carolina's going to do the same. They've got big guys. They've got guys that are going to get in front of the net and try and disrupt Sergei Bobrovsky. But, you nailed it. Freddie Anderson doesn't really give up many rebounds. You saw that was a problem with Joseph Woll for Toronto. Now, Anthony Stolarz is pretty good, but he wasn't in goal for Toronto. Woll was, and he gave up a lot of big rebounds. Florida didn't even cash in on half of them. So, when those pucks come off, the Panthers are going to have to be right there to clean up. And we saw Anton Lundell get a couple of those pucks. We saw Brad Marchand do it. Yeah, to Luostarinen right in front of that. So that whole third line kind of feasted on pucks coming off the end boards, coming off of the goalie in Toronto. But those opportunities, when they're there, they're going to have to take advantage of.
Were you surprised by Game 7 in Toronto, by the way?
A little bit that it was exactly like Game 5. I mean, Florida, Paul Maurice said a lot of nice things about Toronto after Game 5, but Florida completely dominated that game. Even, it was worse than that 6-1 score looked. And then Game 7 was even worse because, you look at the first 10 minutes of that first, Florida could have been up 3-4-0, and it was a scoreless game. Toronto gets back on their game, so you're thinking, geez, man, this is tight. Florida sure didn't take advantage. And then the second period comes, and it's blowout city. So little surprised that Toronto just didn't seem to have the fight back in a game. Not surprised. It is Toronto, and I think that's what a lot of people were counting on, that Toronto wouldn't know how to handle the pressure. They did for a bit, but at the end of the day, the Panthers were just, so focused on one thing, Toronto just couldn't handle it.
I started the show today, I was talking about, and I probably gave you some version of this question last year that regarded back-to-back trips to the Stanley Cup Finals, but I'll do it with now back-to-back-to-back trips to the Eastern Conference Finals and, one series win away from going to your third Stanley Cup Finals. When you think about these Panthers teams over the years and sitting at the Office Depot Center and BB&T Center, National Car Rental Center, whatever it was called during those different
FLA
eras.
Live.
And yeah.
Oh,
and yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good
and
memory.
There was 4,000 or 5,000 fans. Half of them were there because of free tickets. Like, if I said to you in 2025, the Panthers are going to be in their third Eastern Conference Finals in a row and maybe be going to the Stanley Cup Finals for the third time in a row and maybe win back-to-back cups, like, they would have looked at us like we were crazy.
Crazy. Unbelievable. Yeah. Like we can't go to the sub shop across the street and get free tickets anymore. I mean, what's going on? Remember that in 2012.
Stacks of them. Stacks of tickets.
Randy Moeller used to have a brick of tickets in his top left pocket that he would give to the writers. Hey, tell your friends, but make sure they scan all 8 tickets so we get – that's how bad it was.
It's funny that you say that, because Moeller, for those who don't know, Moeller wasn't just a broadcaster way back in the day. He was also like part of the
VP.
Front office or
yeah,
what was he?
Yeah, he was VP of communications or something.
Yeah. And so, you know, I was program director at 790 The Ticket at that time, and I would say – hey, we want to put the 790 van, you know, during the Levitard show, we want to put the van outside the arena and tell listeners that we'll give away some free tickets. And he would give me, when you say a brick of tickets, brick of tickets, and people would just come up, get their free tickets, but they needed to do anything to get fans in the seats during those eras.
I'm surprised they didn't let you drive the van into the arena and have it just in there.
They probably would have.
I mean, yeah. And you could have. You could have driven that van down the concourse and not even had to honk the horn to get people out of the way. It was bad, man. Oh, man, yeah. It was bad. Yeah.
Isn't it
rough. But again,
is it not like,
do
you ever sit back? You ever? Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Talk about 2012.
No, in 2012, when the Panthers, you know, won the Atlantic and finally made the playoffs after 12 years, people were mad that they couldn't get free tickets anymore. I mean, it was like – they were just, it had just been so ingrained in people's mind that Panther games were free that they couldn't believe that they finally had to pay for tickets.
What a turnaround from that franchise, huh? Mm-hmm. I mean, it started with Vinny Viola and Doug Cifu coming in. Like they really turned around everything about the franchise. And Bill
Absolutely.
Zito, we were talking, we were singing his praises. Bill Zito has to go down right now as one of the greatest front office personnel presidents team presidents in the history of South Florida sports. No,
sure. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, Pat Riley the same way. What were the Miami Heat before Pat Riley got here? Right. They were,
right.
They had some games. Yeah. They had some seasons where they went to the playoffs and yet, you know, they were fine. They beat Atlanta in the first round and then get blown out. But Pat Riley completely changed everything surrounding the Miami Heat to where they were expected to play for championships, and that was that's what they aimed for. Before that, it was just, you know, you're just having fun at the Miami Arena getting those, you know, red and white drinks, right? but then Pat Riley changed it. Same with the Panthers, the Bill Zito, and Dale Tallon, too. Dale Tallon definitely set this thing up, but Bill Zito completely flipped it on its ear. I mean, he, you know, there's what, 3-4 players left from when Bill Zito took over, and yet the Panthers not only didn't take a step back as this roster was completely overturned, they got better. Every year the Panthers got better, and you look at where they're at now, and you know, not only are these the glory years, but there's no end really in sight. All these guys, their best guys, are signed for the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Maybe this is a major case of me being caught up in the moment, George, but is Zito already in statue territory?
Well, they don't have many statues out in front of the arena there in Sunrise. In
exactly.
fact, I don't think they have one. They
exactly.
got rid of those lily pad things, so they've got room. I mean, you know, listen, if you win the, you know, let's just see what happens. But listen, they've already won the Stanley Cup. I mean, you know, you look at, for years, it was just, you know, the banners up in the arena were, you know, for Celine Dion, and now you've got all these real banners, and there's, how many of these guys are going to have their numbers retired? You know, Zito's definitely going to have his name retired. You know, one of those honorary Paul Maurice too. I mean, there's just that whole roof is going to be filled with banners.
Pretty amazing. Again, read your Panthers coverage online, floridahockeynow.com. George Richards hopefully will be joining us for still several more weeks if they can continue on this road to a repeat. Thank you, George.
You got it, guys. We'll see you.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You, Brooks Koepka!
Hawk and Crowder.